different note. Have y'all been by the Presbyterian Church? It's beautiful. No.
Oh, in Wetumpka.
It looks
normal, doesn't it? I noticed that.
It looks like a 200-year-old
church. I noticed it Friday when I was up there.
They did a great job.
Yeah, they did it.
The steeple is slightly different, the spire on it. But other than that, it looks like the original church.
Good morning. Welcome to Morning Praise at Liberty Baptist Church. Good to have you all here this morning on this, I would say nice fall morning, but it's not quite fall yet, and it's still summertime here in Alabama, but we'll get some cooler weather sooner or later. But I'm glad you're here today. Good to see you all. Do we have any announcements from the congregation we need to hear this morning? Okay, are we having women's Bible study or... anybody heard today? Bible journaling. 5 or 5:30? 5 or 5:30. So you can get here at 5 or 5 in the fellowship hall. Okay, Bible journaling. Don't forget, we have started our Wednesday night services back. Now, we've not started the meals back yet, but Wednesday night at 6 p.m., we'll meet here in the worship center and continue with our foundations. Concrete and cranes about Jesus. We talked about last time the foundation of love. We'll talk about a different foundation this week, and it's for kids and adults as well. So hopefully you'll be here with us Wednesday night at 6 p.m. Okay, do we have any other updates, any prayer requests? Don't think I've got any. Yes, ma'am. Okay. With surgery, Matthew Warren. Okay. Okay. All right. We'll be praying for him. Donna? So Waylon's a big brother. I saw some pictures of him looking after his brother, so that's good. That's good. Yes, Diane and Robert been on vacation. They back home safely now. So, all right. Good to see everybody. So I won't make the kids come up front, but we're going to do Kids with the King in just a moment. So those of you watching electronically, make sure your kids are close enough to see the monitor. We're going to be talking about the greatest love, the greatest love. Scripture verse for today comes from John 15, verse 13. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. Now, this is the first Sunday after September 11th, and you guys know every year I honor first responders on the Sunday closest to September 11th. So we're doing that this morning during the Kids with the King. Most of you, now some of you younger ones may not, but most of the rest of us can remember where we were and what we were doing on September 11th, 2001. I was at work and I had heard on the radio about an aircraft crashing into the first tower. And my mental picture of that was a Cessna, a small Piper Cub or something like that had probably got in trouble and crashed into the North Tower. So as I walked upstairs, going to my office, Jackie Partridge, her office was before I got to mine, and she always had a little television set, and she had it on as I went by the office because I heard it. So I stepped in there to find out what was going on just as the second airplane flew into the second tower. So we were, a bunch of us from the department were in her office watching the events unfold after that. And as the first tower collapsed, my first thought, because of my background, my first thought was for the police and the firefighters that had gone into the tower. Now, yes, I know there's a lot of folks that lost their life that worked there. But they were in the tower and they were trapped in the tower. But these individuals ran into the tower to help those people in there. So I thought it would be instructive to get some numbers today. Now, each of these numbers represent a real person that was a real family member, a husband, a wife, a father, a mother, you know, a brother, something to somebody. 412 first responders lost their lives that day. 343 were New York Fire Department firefighters. Over 75 fire stations lost at least one fireman. There were 121 engine companies involved, 62 ladder companies, 27 command cars. All off-duty firefighters were recalled to duty that day, the first time in over 30 years that had ever occurred. But 343 firefighters, 37 Port Authority police officers, 23 NYPD officers, 1 New York Fire Patrol officer, and 8 EMTs or EMT paramedics from private EMS services. So all of these first responders gave their life that day. Jesus says, greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. Now, does that mean to give up your life as in dying? Well, it could. But it also means to be willing to live your life in service for others as well. As we surrender our life to Christ, then he empowers us with his Spirit to live that kind of life. So as you see police officers, firefighters, EMS, or whatever the personnel may be over the next few days, make it a point to tell them thank you for their service. Got a little video I want to show you that's a tribute to first responders.
I'm only one call away. I'll be there to save the day. Superman got nothing. Then I'm made. I'm only one call away. Call me, baby, if you need a friend. I just wanna give you love. Come on, come on, come on. Reaching out to you, so take a chance. No matter where you go. Superman got nothing on me.
it all, through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. Through it all, through it all, I've learned to depend upon His Word.
If you would stand with us, this awesome, awesome song by Andre Crouch. If you know it, really sing it out with us. All together. And
through it all, through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. Through it all, through it all, I've learned to depend upon His Word.
Couldn't be even any more accurate than that. Let's continue singing as those who come behind us find us faithful. Go ahead and do this.
Oh, may all who come behind us find us faithful. May the fire of our devotion light their way. May the footprints that we lead them to believe. And the lives we live inspire them to obey. Oh, may all who come behind us find us faithful.
All together one more time.
Oh, may all who come behind us find us faithful. May the fire of our devotion light their way. May the footprints that we lead them to believe, and the lives we live inspire them to obey. Oh, may all who come behind us find us faithful.
Brother Larry.
Take just a moment, turn around, blow a kiss to the person behind you, let them know that you're glad to see them today. Join me as we pray. Father, thank you for this opportunity to gather together. Help us not to esteem that opportunity so lightly, but rather, Lord, help us to cherish the times that we may gather together in fellowship and in corporate worship to bring you the praise and the worship in a corporate setting that you alone are due. We pray that we will, as individuals and together as your church, we will be the salt and light that you have called us and are calling us to be. Lord, help us to be all that you've called us to be. We commit this time to you today, Lord, and pray that you'll work in our hearts and our lives your will and your way. Help us to not be as those who hear, but rather help us to be as those who hear and then obey. We ask it in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen.
Remain standing. And during this fellowship time, a little birdie told me we have a special birthday today. Everybody look over, see how embarrassed she is? She's matching her hair. Everybody, let's sing all together. And
happy birthday to you. Happy birthday.
God bless you.
Happy birthday. God bless you. Happy birthday to you.
If y'all can see her face right now, that's awesome. Hope you have a very special birthday. You've got some great people to celebrate it with. Let's remain standing as we sing on Jordan's Stormy Banks.
On Jordan's stormy banks I stand and cast a wishful eye to Canaan's fair and happy land where my possessions lie. I am bound for the promised land. I am bound for the promised land. Oh, who will come and go with me? I am bound for the promised land.
Second,
all o'er those wide extended plains shines one eternal. scatters night away. I am bound for the promised land. I am bound for the promised land. Oh, who will come and go with me? I am bound for the promised land. No chilling winds nor poisonous breath can reach that healthful shore. Sickness and sorrow, pain and death are felt and feared no more. I am bound for the promised land. I am bound for the promised land. Oh, who will come and go with me? I am bound for the promised land.
And the fourth.
When shall I reach that happy place and be forever blessed? When shall I see my Father's face and in His bosom rest? I am bound for the promised land. I am bound for the promised land. Oh, who will come and go with me? I am bound for the promised land.
Brother Larry.
As I light the candle, you'll see the military individuals that we're praying for first, and then first responders secondly. As always, please let us know if there's anyone we need to add to that list.
All together.
God bless America, land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her through the night with the light from above. From the mountains to the prairies to the oceans, white with foam. God bless America, my home, sweet home. God bless America, my home, sweet home.
And you may be seated.
And I understand that we were all wrong. It's 4:30 for the Bible journaling, right, Lindsay? 4:30, not 5, not 5:30, 4:30. Yes, well, I don't know that they'll be done or not. Some of them might not be done. Yes, true. They may not be done then. As always, the little wicker basket, I guess it's a wicker basket in the back, is available that you may drop your offering as you go out. Also, we are receiving the Myers Mallory State Missions offering this month, so if you would like to give to that, some of that goes to disaster relief, which we've had a lot of. 2020 seems to be the year for that as opposed to some other years, and apparently it's not over yet, so continue to pray about that and give as the Lord directs you on that. Dead idol or the living God? Dead idol or the living God. That's the choice that we have to make. That's the choice that individuals have had to make since countless times back. And until Jesus Christ returns, that will be a choice that we have to make. Now you might say that shouldn't be too difficult to make, but you might be surprised, or perhaps not, that it has been a plague upon humanity since the fall, when Adam and Eve sinned and fell, and then we followed them. Ever since that has occurred, man has, by and large, chosen a dead idol over the living God. And we are seeing the fruit of those choices displayed on our television screens probably every day. 2020 seems to be the worst in my memory anyway. Now, we've asked this question before, and I think the answer is probably similar. Are people more evil now than they ever have been? No, I don't think so. Is there more evil that goes on today than there was before? I don't think so in the sense that man is any more evil than man has ever been. I think the problem today is that we see it because it is accepted as the norm today. And now the danger there is that what we are seeing in our culture is the worship, make no mistake about it, the worship of dead idols instead of the worship and service of the living God. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your love and your blessings. Lord, thank you for the word that you've given us. Help us to be as those who hear and then obey. Lord, help us to not just hear you, but to step out on and in what you have told us to do. Help us to step out and do that. Lord, help us to be the salt and the light to infuse and to savor and to salt the culture. We know that the world will not love us because it did not love you. You have told us that persecution is the norm. But we pray, Lord, that we will be accurate reflectors of your love and your truth in the midst of a dark and a dying world. We pray for that. We pray for our children, our grandchildren. We pray for the church universal that we will never, ever give up as we seek to follow and serve you, to hear you say to us individually and collectively, "Well done, my good and faithful servant, enter into the joys of your Lord." Lord, help us to see the handwriting on the wall. Help us to understand the urgency of the time. And help us to understand how dangerous the decision is for so many. We continue to ask, Lord, that the words of my mouth, the meditation of our hearts together, might be acceptable in your sight. In Jesus' name, amen. Scripture we've got today comes from, first of all, Isaiah chapter 46. Isaiah chapter 46. And now all the verses will not be on the board. So if you have your Bibles, I encourage you to turn there to Isaiah chapter 46. Baal bows down, Nebo stoops. These are idols. Their idols were on the beasts and on the cattle. Your carriages were heavily loaded, a burden to the weary beast. They stoop, they bow down together. They could not deliver the burden, but have themselves gone into captivity. Listen to me, O house of Jacob, and all the remnant of the house of Israel, who have been upheld by me from birth, who have been carried from the womb. Even to your old age I am he, and even to the gray hairs I will carry you. I have made and I will bear, even I will carry and will deliver you. To whom will you liken me and make me equal? That's the question. To whom will you liken me and make me equal and compare me that we should be alike? They lavish gold out of the bag and weigh silver on the scales. They hire a goldsmith and he makes it a god. They prostrate themselves. Yes, they worship. They bear it on their shoulder. They carry it and set it in its place and it stands. From its place it shall not move. Though one cries out to it, yet it cannot answer, nor save him out of his trouble. Remember this, and show yourselves men. Recall to mind, O you transgressors. Remember the former things of old. For I am God, and there is no other. I am God, and there is no one like me, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. Then the next verses of Scripture come from Psalm 49. Psalm 49. I'm going to start actually, I'm going to start about verse 5. Why should I fear in the days of evil when the iniquity at my heels surrounds me? Those who trust in their wealth and boast in the multitude of their riches, none of them can by any means redeem his brother, nor give to God a ransom for him. For the redemption of their soul is costly, and it shall cease forever, that he should continue to live eternally and not see the pit. We have been warned throughout Scripture, from the beginning to the end, about the dangers of following after idols. Now, very seldom today will you see anybody bow down to a golden calf. Probably not. However, make no mistake about it, mankind today worships false gods just as real, just as much, as the, if not more so, than they did when these verses were written by the prophet. And the result is still the same as it has always been. To follow a dead idol will lead to eternal death. Now, you will be accepted by the world if you follow the way of the world. Yes, that's true. You will. If you want companionship and a pat on the back from the world, if you want the world to like you, then if you follow the way of the world's going to be glad. They're going to be there with you. They're going to be patting you on the back. But when it comes, and it will come, when it comes to the end of your life, whether it's days away, years away, everybody will come to the end. And Scripture says that everyone will stand before God and give an account for the things done in the body and said. And we will all answer to Him in one of two places, either the great white throne or the judgment seat of Christ. There is no escape from that. If you are at the great white throne judgment, you will face God as your judge, clothed only in your own righteousness. And it will be no defense to say, well, everybody else was doing it. You ever heard that excuse? Everybody else was doing it. Everybody else said, that's okay. Friends, I'm telling you, if everybody in the world said it's okay, and God said it's a sin, you better watch out. Because you're not going to give an account of yourself to the world. You're going to give an account of yourself to God. My dad will tell you, if he was standing here today, that for years he resisted going to church because the business he was in, he had his taste of hypocrites. And he said there was too many hypocrites that went to church. But then he told me that it finally dawned on him that when he died, he was not going to stand before God and be able to say, but so-and-so did this and so-and-so did that. So-and-so was a hypocrite. God don't care about what they did because they're going to have to answer for themselves. When you stand before God, the only defense you have is what did you do with Jesus Christ? Because Scripture is plain, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. None of us, none, nobody who has ever lived or will ever live, has ever been good enough to get into heaven on our own. It is not going to be a balance where God's going to put your good deeds on one side and your sins on the other and see which one weighs, and you're going to get in if the good outweighs the bad. Because I promise you, it will not happen. The wages of sin is death. But it doesn't stop. It doesn't stop there. The wages of sin is death, but, another one of those big buts in the Bible, but the gift of God, is eternal life. And that gift is in and is the person of Jesus Christ. Why do we continue to choose dead idols when we have the living God. But over and over and over again, man chooses dead idols. Why do we do that? Why do we do that? The Israelites, saved miraculously from slavery, plague after plague, God sends against Egypt, delivers the Israelites from bondage, parts the Red Sea. 1 million Israelites go across. God drowns the Egyptian army in the depths of the Red Sea. And then shortly after that, what do the Israelites do? They build a golden calf. Now, think for just a moment about an idol. And time after time, Scripture talks about this. If the idol's built out of gold or silver or a combination, it doesn't really matter. It can even be built out of wood. Who does the building of these idols? Man. Man builds those idols. And then they turn around and worship the idol. What kind of sense does that make? Well, man's not astounding for his intellect, apparently. That's dumb. Or as Diane used to say when she was a kid, that's stupid. Yeah, that's stupid. And yet we do it over and over again. Some things we want to look at today. First of all, we want to make sure that we understand that our culture offers salvation. You realize that? Culture, the way of the world, the way of man, whatever term you want to use for that, ultimately it's Satan. But it offers a way to what they call salvation. Well, what is that way? Well, ultimately, you're going to see that the result of whatever their path is anarchy. Do you know what anarchy is? Anarchy is chaos. Anarchy is no rule of law. Anarchy is what you would have if we actually entertain the notion, which is the most asinine thing I've ever heard, defund the police. Defund the police, and what you're going to have? Anarchy. Rule of the strongest. Who rules the lion pride? The biggest and the baddest lion. Who rules a wolf pack? The biggest and the baddest wolf. Who rules a community without the rule of law? The biggest and the baddest person. No law. No rights. No safety at all. Anarchy is the norm. And that's what Satan is all about. Make no mistake about it. That's what he's all about. Because you see, Satan rules the heart of a man or a woman that's not ruled by God. You might say, I'm my own man and my own woman, but no, you're not. If you don't belong to Jesus Christ, then you're part of the kingdom of Satan. You can put whatever current moniker you want to on it, but that's what it is. If it looks like a duck and quacks like a duck, it's probably a duck. Ultimately, no matter what they call themselves, no matter what the current idol may be, make no mistake that at the depths of that idol, it's Lucifer. Satan is who is being worshipped. That's the only two options you have. You worship the living God or you worship Satan. That's the only two options. Pride, pleasure, and power. That may be the unholy trinity of our idols today. You know, not a golden calf, not a little totem pole, but more, not a tangible idol, but an idea. But still, nonetheless, an idol. Pride. The love of self more than anything else. Me, first and foremost, I don't care what happens to you. Pleasure. Again, I don't care the cost. I want it. I want it. I forgot how old Diane was. She was relatively young. I don't think she was driving yet. We were sitting at the supper table one night, And she said, "Dad, I want a BMW SUV." I'm like, "Great, get it. If you can get it, get it." You know, I don't remember exactly how old I was, but at some point in time, my dad hurt my feelings. He told me that you're not too old for your wants to hurt you. Just because I wanted something didn't mean I was going to automatically get it. That's a novel concept, isn't it? Because in our culture today, everybody seems to think just because I want it means I ought to have it. I deserve it. It should be mine. How do you possibly justify breaking into somebody's business, stealing TVs, I don't know what all kinds of stuff, and then burning the business down? I don't care how mad you are about something else, wherever in the universe is it okay to do that? Well, these people justified it to themselves somehow. It's okay. You hurt my feelings. It's okay. They have and I don't, so I can take it. It's all right. Said who? Said Satan. Pride, pleasure, and power are very hard taskmasters because they are never, ever satisfied. That's going to be one thing you're going to see from someone who has given their life to the way of the world. You will see that they are never, ever, ever satisfied. Because God puts a place in our heart that only He can fill. And we can pursue pride and pleasure and power or any other kind of idol all we want to. We can cram all kinds of this stuff in our lives, but at the end of our life, we're going to find out that I still have a hunger because something is not filled, and that something is a relationship that God created us to have with Him that nothing else will fill. Some of the most unhappy people I have ever seen in my life were also some of the, materially speaking, richest people. You might say, "Well, man, money will solve all the problems." No, it won't. Money won't solve the problem because these people are usually, number one, afraid they're going to lose their money, afraid somebody else is going to get it. And the truth is, somebody is going to get it. You're not going to carry it with you. The Pharaohs tried that. Doesn't work. Pride, pleasure, power, or whatever other idol name you want to put in there, they are false gods. They may not be a golden calf, but it's still a false god, and it will absolutely lead to your destruction. They will kill you. Scripture is plain. Satan comes for three purposes: to steal, to kill, and to destroy you. He can't get God. His next best thing is to get you. You have a choice. Choose Christ or choose Satan. How many times in Scripture do you see the choices laid out? Life and death. Choose one today. Too many people, too many times, have chosen the way of death. There can be all number of reasons, but ultimately it really doesn't matter what the reason is that they chose it. What matters is the path they chose leads to eternal death. Secondly, but God offers real life. He offers the real thing. Jesus Christ says Himself, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by Me. That is one and one only. There is only one way. It is exclusive of all others. We've talked about it before. It remains true today just as much as it did the first time it was ever said. There are some things that are completely, objectively, and absolutely true. That's one of them. Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by Me. You may be here today entertaining all kinds of thoughts about this and that, some other way, some other thing to do. I'm going to tell you now, be warned, those detours lead to death. They lead to death. There was a case, I think it's a couple of years ago now, of a couple of ladies that got lost on the East Coast. I forgot now what park it was, but they had to activate a search and rescue team to go out and get them. They had become lost on a trail somewhere, and they went and got them, and they rescued them, and they brought them back, two ladies, brought them back to their minivan. And they were physically okay. They were shaken up a little bit, but they didn't need medical attention, so they were okay. So when they released them to leave, they left the park going down this road, following a GPS route to wherever they were going. Either they queued in the wrong address or the GPS was wrong, I don't know which, but they drove their minivan, because they didn't know the area, they drove their minivan down a road that was actually going to a boat ramp and out into the lake, and they both drowned in the minivan. They thought that they knew where they were going. They thought they were okay, but they were following something that was carrying them in the wrong direction. They were sincere. Their trust was there. It matters eternally who your trust is in. I've said it before. A little bit of faith in a solid boat will get you to the other side of the lake. Big faith in a leaky boat will get you wet. It's not the size of our faith that matters. Jesus said, faith the size of a grain of mustard seed is sufficient. The size of our faith does not matter. It is the object of our faith. If you put your trust in man, if you put your trust in the ways of man, it will lead to eternal death. If you put your trust, and it may be little, but if you put your trust in Jesus Christ, He will deliver you to eternal life. Amen. A little trust in Jesus Christ is all it takes. You might say, Pastor, I don't understand all of this. Well, I don't either. That's okay. Jesus said, follow Me. Nowhere in here does Jesus say, understand everything. Does He? He doesn't say, understand everything. He just said, follow Me. Can you do that? Can you follow Him? We've all done it. Back before the days of GPS, when we actually had things you call maps, paper maps, you know, you pull one of those things out and you figure out how to get somewhere. And you follow that route. And if you had several folks in a caravan, the one in front had the map, probably. What'd you do? You followed them. And hope they knew what they're doing. Jesus offers real life. It is based on His character. It's testified by His Word. And it's sealed by His Spirit. Sealed by the Spirit of God. How come Satan can't get you? Because you're sealed by the Spirit of God. Now, that word sealed, sometimes we might think it means like totally enclosed. That's not really what it means. When it means sealed by the Spirit of God, it's like an official seal. Boom. Because when Rome, when Caesar sent out an edict, he makes a proclamation, writes it out on parchment, and then they take a candle, they drop the hot wax on the parchment, and Caesar takes his ring, and what's he do with it? He marks that, and he seals it. You might say, that don't do anything. Yes, it does. It put the full weight and power of the Roman Empire behind that seal. If a police officer stepped out in the middle of 31 and throws his hand up, does he have the power to stop a vehicle going down the highway at 60 miles an hour? No, he doesn't have the power. But he has the authority of the laws of the state of Alabama. When he holds that hand up, you better stop or else you're going to get a ticket. Because he has that authority. The full authority and power of the state is behind that symbol. The full power of God, we are sealed by the Holy Spirit. Once you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, once you ask Him, Lord, forgive me of my sins, come into my heart and save me, then you're sealed by the Spirit of God. His Spirit takes up residence in your life, and there is no room for Satan. God is calling you today. Just like He told Levi, just like He told countless other disciples, just like He told John, just like He told Peter when Peter was in the boat, follow me. Follow me. And all you got to do is get out of the boat, get up from the custom table, wherever you are, and follow Jesus Christ. Don't worry about where He's going. Follow Him. He knows where He's going. God is calling you today to salvation first and foremost, but also to a relationship and to real life. Because these false gods, these dead idols that we're talking about, are calling you to death. Jesus Christ is calling you to life. You know, in mythology, there was the idea of the sirens, who were, I guess, sort of like mermaids that could sing and call sailors to their doom because they would follow their song and wreck their ship. Satan does that today as well. He calls us to our destruction because we listen to his song. Because it sounds like, oh, that's what I want. And then ultimately, it leads to destruction. I don't know what goes in the mind of a dog all the time, but Friday, our gate got left open, and both of our dogs, Gracie and Cookie, both got out. Well, Gracie, you know, Gracie's an Australian Shepherd, and she wants to be where I'm at, and she wants to be doing what she's supposed to be doing. So she came back waiting for me. But Cookie, as Eskimos often do, decided he wanted to go exploring. Well, he did. Now, thankfully, he didn't get hurt, but Kathy about died from anxiety before she found him. And once he heard her calling him, oh, he was all nervous and upset then because he couldn't find his way back home. But it felt pretty good to him to start with. Hey, I'm free, I'm free. Well, freedom can lead to death if we don't know who we're following. Follow Jesus Christ, not the way of the world. Thirdly, once you have heard Jesus Christ, once you have asked Him to forgive you and save you, once you become one of His children, a child of the King, part of the church, then we are called to salt the culture. Salt the culture. Now, as Americans, we probably put too much salt on our food. But salt has a purpose. We need some salt. We need some salt. Sodium is one of the cations that we need to have in our body. It has a place. We just overdo it a lot of times. But salt adds flavor, does it not? You can be eating food that's pretty bland, but put a little bit of salt on it, and it spices up the flavor, doesn't it? Well, we are to salt the culture. Add flavor to the culture. But more than that, salt preserves, doesn't it? Salt brings life. And we are to be doing that to our culture. The problem is, what happens if you get salt in a cut? It burns, don't it? It hurts. Well, the culture, the world's not going to like it. The world's not going to appreciate you. The world's going to wish you wasn't doing it. The world's going to tell you that. But that's okay. Because as we follow Him, we look for His approval, not the okay of the world. You hear me? Because the world can tell you everything's good and you can both go to hell, or you can follow Jesus Christ and have life eternal. At the end of your days, it's going to matter little if the world was all with you or not. What's going to matter is if Jesus is your Lord or not. We should speak His words. Now you might say, well, I'm not a preacher. Well, no, everybody's not. But we can still speak the living Word of God. Toby Mac got a song, Speak Life. We need to speak life. Speak the living Word of God. I used to know a person that they read their Bible daily. I mean, they memorized Scripture. They used the Word of God. And, of course, I'm not, you know, some folks can type text messages with two thumbs. I do this, so I'm slow when I send a text message anyway. But sometimes we would send verses of Scripture to each other. I couldn't get one verse typed before they'd send me three, because they could do like this. But they knew Scripture. You know, we'd be talking about a topic, and they'd send a Scripture, and I'd be typing out another one, and I'd get like two more before I could get one sent. Speak love. Speak truth. We don't have a problem telling folks who we pull for in football, do we? We'll tell them what we think. Why do we hesitate to tell them that we love Jesus? Why do we hesitate to tell them that He is the way, the truth, and the life? And you might say, well, that's going to offend them. Well, I don't intentionally try to offend anybody, but if I'm going to speak the truth, I'm going to speak the truth. I'm going to try to do it in love, but I'm going to speak the truth. They may not like it, but I'd rather them hear the truth than go to hell unoffended. Let me ask you this. If that person says they're offended by hearing the Word of God, let me ask them, do you think they'd be more offended if I didn't say anything to them and they went to hell? Now, I can't stop them from going to hell, but if them hearing the Word of God makes them turn, hadn't they a lot rather hear that and turn than go to hell? I'd a lot rather offend them now and then be saved than me not offend them and then go to hell. He says to act as He directs. The church of God is the living body of Christ. Why do we do the Myers-Mallory mission offering? Why do we do the other mission? Why does the church do what the church does? Part of it is to show the love of Christ in a tangible way. One of the greatest examples to me of the love of Christ in Scripture is the leper who came to Jesus. Now, if you know anything about leprosy, you know that it was a horrible disease. And they were socially outcast. Nobody would touch them. Nobody would get close to them. Sort of like the masks with the COVID-19 thing going on today. Except worse. So this leper knew that Jesus was there, and he comes up to Jesus, and he asks for Jesus to heal him. And Scripture says, you know, the leper said, if you're willing, you can heal me. and Jesus was willing. But what's really stands out in my mind is what Jesus did. Scripture says, he reached out and touched the leper and said, I'm willing, be clean. Now, he could have just spoken the words and he would have been healed. But that man had been a leper for some number of years and had had no physical touch from anybody in that whole time. He was dying for love, not just to be cleansed from leprosy. He was dying for love. And Jesus reached out in love and touched a horrible, stinky, dying leper and said, I will be clean. And boom, just like that, he's healed. Act as Jesus act. Touch the world with his truth and with his love. How great it would be to know that when you reach the end of your days, somebody can stand at your graveside and say, he or she made a difference in my life because they shared the love of Christ. Brother Ivo Livingston was my mentor for years. He passed away at too young an age, really. But he was the pastor of a small church up in Elmore County. And when he passed away, his wife, and I understand now, I didn't think about it at the time, but she made the decision to have the service at Eastern Hills Baptist Church. And I'm thinking, man, why so far away? Well, that's where they had met. She was originally a member there. But I saw pretty quickly why they had to hold it there. There was over 450 people at his service. Why? He was not some great, eloquent preacher that was on television. But he touched a lot of people with the love of Christ. Touched the world with his love. Demonstrate the power of God in your own life. How can I do that? Reflect his love and his truth. Be transparent and share what Jesus has done and is doing in your life. Here's your compass point. Our culture offers a false narrative. They do it every day. Of what it calls love and life. But rather, it is the dead idols of humanism that lead to destruction. That's what it's really sharing. Destruction, darkness, and death. Only Jesus Christ can lead us into light and life. He provides joy, peace, and purpose as we follow Him in relationship. You're going to have an opportunity in the next few moments to express to Him your love for Him and what you would like for Him to do in your life. Whether you want Him to be your Savior and Lord, whether you want Him to forgive you of your sins, whether you want to walk in the light as He is in the light, to be led by Him, or whether you want to just go your own way and do your own thing. The painful truth is He will let you do that. But friends, I promise you, you will forever and ever regret that decision. I don't know of anyone who has ever regretted asking Jesus Christ into their life. I don't know how old you may be or how young you may be, how many more years or days you have ahead of you here. But I can tell you, we all have eternity ahead of us. Where are we going to spend it? It's my prayer that you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. If not, make sure of that in the next few moments. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your truth and your love. Thank you that in spite of the dead idols and the message of death and darkness that Satan preaches day in and day out, we have the opportunity to turn to you, the author and finisher of our faith and the giver of every good and perfect gift. We may turn to you, Lord Jesus, as the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by you. Lord, help us to come to you today, just as we are. asking you to forgive us, to restore us into relationship, and Lord, to bring us into eternity with you. Lord, help us not to be turned aside by the glitz and glamour of the world, but rather respond to the love and the truth and the mercy of your Spirit. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Will you stand, please? The altar is open.
I've wandered far away from God. Now I'm coming home. Some sin too long I've trod. Lord, I'm coming home.
One more time, through it all. Sing it out, man.
Through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. Through it all, upon his word.